Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
What a comeback indeed. A massive comeback. What can you say about that? I mean, honestly, last night was the most amazing comeback ever. 28-3, 8-plus minutes left in the third quarter. Falcons got the ball, and then it all just kind of started to go the other way. I watched that game. I'd be lying if I didn't think that this game was over. I think everybody feels the same way. It was absolutely just amazing. It was so incredible to watch that last night. Lessons to be learned there, too. I talked to my little one, Jack. When I told Jack, I said, he was upset because the Patriots were losing. They're our team, Dad. They're our team. It's not over yet. But they're our team, Dad. They're our team. They're going to lose. It's not over yet. Dad, I said, it's not over yet. It's not over. Mental toughness. It's huge. Tom Brady talked about mental toughness after the game last night and his team's performance.
It was just a great team performance. So I'm so proud to be a part of this team. You know, we faced a lot of adversities over the course of the year and overcame it with a lot of mental toughness. And it was just a great way to really culminate the season.
Mental toughness. There's something to be said in that last night and everything that happened with kids, with everything, that lesson learned. Jack was upset, and then they won. And throughout, the lesson to learn is you just never give up in life. You never give up in life. You never, ever, ever give up in life because you never know what may happen. Mental toughness. Kids don't have it nowadays. Kids don't have mental toughness. Kids struggle with a lot of things. Right? They don't have that. And that's on us in a lot of ways. We can point our fingers at ourselves. We'll get to more in depth in the game a little bit. Jason Page will join us at the bottom of the hour. But as I watched that game last night, there was, you know, here it is, election day, and nobody thought Trump was going to win. Here it is, halftime, and it's 21-3, and the Patriots look horrible. And then all of a sudden, it's 28-3, and nobody thought they were going to win. And then they mount this comeback for the ages, a comeback that you couldn't believe. Some of which, you know what, we've talked about it. Who won the game? Who lost the game? Did the Falcons lose it as much as the Patriots won it? But the Patriots had to execute. Tom Brady went into halftime, and he gave his team a once-over. He laid into his team. Let me tell you something. We're not going out like this. We're going to bust our ass. They've had everything go right for them. We've had nothing go right for us. We're going to make it work. It's our turn to have all the breaks go our way. Now can we finish that? Mental toughness. Do kids have that nowadays? No, not so much. You have kids in college all the time that are horribly, you know, it's horrible but true, that kill themselves because they struggle on tests and scores and grades. And you hear kids about kids who are going to seek help because they just, you know, God knows they need not only a safe space, but, you know, they saw a rat or somebody put up a Trump sign. There's no mental stability there in the sense that, you know, yes, they're good kids. And if everything's going their way, everything's great. But the minute chips gets down on them, they struggle. There's something to be said. Sports is great for teaching kids things like this. Sports is great. We've even tried to take away the everything in sports where we make it so everybody gets a trophy and everybody's a winner and nobody keeps score. But, you know, I've told Jack numerous times, my 6.5-year-old, people keep score in life. You will be compared. People keep score in life. You have to work hard. You have to never give up. You have to do more than the other person. That's what makes somebody win. Harder I work, the luckier I get. That's one of my favorite sayings in life. Tom Brady last night left everything out there along with the rest of his team. But you could watch what was happening. What was happening was amazing. Watching him slowly but surely bring them back, but also watching the wilting of the Falcons. Watching their mental state as they slowly but surely saw them creep back into the game, and all of a sudden what was once a unthinkable was now potentially a reality, and all of a sudden it was a reality, and watching Matt Ryan walk out there to take the coin flip as the overtime started, he had lost. It was over. He was dejected. He was distraught. He knew it was done. He knew it. It's amazing. It is. And I told Jackie, there's a lesson here, is you never give up in life. Things aren't always going to go your way. We've taken that away from kids nowadays. We as a nation have taken those kind of things away from kids because we fix everything. We helicopter parent them. We fix their play dates. They don't scratch their knees. They don't climb up trees. We have taken everything away from them. Guess what? We're going to take away all your pain. We're going to take away all your suffering. We're going to make sure that you never get hurt. And then we're going to send you to the real world. And guess what? The real world is full of what? Little danger zones, right? Bumps and ways and bruises and things that you're going to run into. You may run into a wall. You may run into a speed bump. You may run into a mountain. You may run into all of those things. How do you get over it? Well, mom and dad have always done it. Well, mom and dad aren't here. Mom and dad aren't here. So how do we make that better? You got to let kids be kids. You got to teach them this is how you overcome these things. And then let them deal with it. Some of it's genetic, right? Some of it is genetic. Some of it kids just have. With my life, I look back at me and I had a never say die attitude. Always going to push forward no matter what. I never went ostrich. If things got down, I had to put my head in the sand. I may get pissed. I may get a little upset. But you know what? I continued moving forward. I have friends. Man, I tell you what, they put their heads in the sand, boom, like that. No, you can't do that. You can't. You got to move forward. Some of that is nature. Some of that is. Some people just have it. And for other people, it's nature and then being tested. You've got to be tested. There's no mental toughness, right? I think that's one of the things that – when you look at Trump – right, and you look at the nation at large, especially for some of these younger kids, these millennials, and these young adults who are out there protesting, and they're upset and they're pissed. He has a mental toughness, and we're always trying to get on him because he'll go crazy and he'll send out weird tweets and he'll attack the judge that upheld that got rid of the ban, and he goes after, you know, people and stuff. We think he's got thin skin. I don't think his skin is as thin as people think. I think what he has is a mental toughness and an attitude that he was going to win. And he wants to win. You know, Bill Belichick, here's the coach of the team, right? He coaches this team. He wins his fifth Super Bowl. He's at the same plateau as Tom Brady, as the greatest coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time. They're at the same plateau. They're the only two men that are standing there, right? They're there by themselves. What's he say today? It's great yesterday. It's great. We should celebrate. We should be proud. But I'm 5 weeks behind the rest of the NFL and their coaches in getting ready for next season, so it's time to move forward. That's it. Driven, hard. You can't do that nowadays. Kids don't get that. There's no driven. There's no hard. We've taken that away. We have taken that away from kids. They don't understand how to overcome obstacles. They don't understand how to overcome setbacks. They don't understand how to overcome even just minor things. It's not a snowflake generation. It's an eggshell generation. That's what they are. I'm not calling them snowflakes anymore. I call them eggshells. It's funny. If you look at an eggshell, here's a perfect example. You try this at home if you want to. You take an egg and you put it in your hand. You cover your hand completely and you squeeze it as hard as you can. You won't be able to break that egg. But if you just chip it a little bit, you can crush it. It's all a facade. That's an eggshell generation. Last night, the Falcons were an eggshell generation. A lot of what America at times you think is becoming because of this completely terrified of everything and setbacks get in my way and we want, and everybody gets a trophy. And you look over and the Patriots were what we used to be, and I think where we need to get back to, which is they never say die. They got knocked down in the dirt. They picked themselves up. They dusted themselves off, and they moved forward. And they won. And they dared to win, and they're in the history books. Nobody will remember the Atlanta Falcons other than they choked this thing out. Everybody will remember Tom Brady and the Patriots. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Also call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD. Got several polls up. We'll talk a bit about them. We'll talk about what's going on in the Capitol as they battle it out over Trump's nominees and what's going on with the travel ban. A lot of stuff to get to today. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Attention. It's the number one show in America.
Oh!
Snap, America.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, what a day yesterday. Many of you guys out there were having a good time hanging out with buddies and pals, and I thought, what else could be better than to turn you on to an urban word of the day that represents that?
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day. Perfect word for yesterday. Bropocalypse. Bropocalypse. A large gathering of bros on a mission to do one thing. Get bombed, tanked, or wasted. Usually ending in something people do that ends up being even something more stupid than just getting tanked or wasted. Yo, bro, everybody's going to be at this party. It's going to turn into a bropocalypse. It's using that in the sentence. That there be your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Oh, I got this great meme that's out there. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This is Tom Brady. And it says, dude, you need a field goal, 2 touchdowns, 2 2-point conversions to take this game into overtime. That's impossible. Hold my beer. Oh, my God, I love that. I absolutely love that. What a game. Again, and I've had several people chime in saying that, you know, hey, thanks so much for talking about the mental toughness in kids. I'm serious. Look at mental toughness. Look at what happened yesterday. Some players, some people. I was talking about over the weekend. When I played ball, I had ice. I had ice in my veins. I was totally cool with taking a big shot, you know. I was totally doing – some guys you would see shirk away. I don't want that. I don't want that thing. Some people live for that. When the chaos is going on, when everything's going sideways, when all this stuff is happening, guess what happens? Time slows down for them. They become ultra-focused. Tom Brady yesterday, ultra-focused. The team got ultra-focused. He was going to lead them to the championship if that means he had to throw the ball to himself. That's the way you felt towards the end of the game. Yeah, there was some luck. You know, the craziest catch. Producer Phil and I talked about it. Craziest catch I've ever seen. Bouncing off people, 3 people spinning around, hitting a guy in the butt, then off his leg. Next thing you know, this little guy emerges with it, and you're like, that can't be a catch. Oh, he caught it. That's luck, but the harder you work, the luckier you get. Politics over the weekend, very interesting. You know, they're still trying to get, you know, Senate confirmation on a lot of his people. Betsy DeVos seems to be the holdup here. The Democrats are going to go to the mat with her. I think this is the fight they chose because they know they can't fight anybody else because it's going to get through. Right now, they know they've got two Republicans who have bounced, and this is her Secretary of Education. So it's a dead tie right now. If one more leaves, it's over. And people say, well, we need to get Jeff Sessions in there. Well, here's the thing. Jeff Sessions is a senator, right? Senator Sessions, he needs to vote. So he can't go and get confirmed as the AG because it takes away his vote. Therefore, that would kill him in that situation. So they need to have this vote. And I think of all the ones that they're going to take down, this is going to be the one. This is the one that they're going to fight tooth and nail on. And I don't blame them. I was not happy about a lot of her answers. I think that she was unprepared. You know what you're doing, right? You know what you're doing when you're going into these situations. You have an understanding of what you're doing. You know the questions you're pretty much, you know, going to get asked, right? You should have an understanding. You should not look ill-prepared. They didn't ask you on a Tuesday, and then you went and had a meeting on a Wednesday, and then were grilled in front of the senators later on that day. That didn't happen that way. You were ill-prepared. Those of you who fail to plan, plan to fail. That's a great saying right there, and I mean it. You should have been prepared, and you weren't. Travel ban is still is non-existent at this moment in time. This thing's going to the Supreme Court. It is, and it's a travel ban. It's not a Muslim ban. People will spin it that way because it's great fodder. Oh my God! It's a ban on Muslims. It's not. The ban on countries that are, you know, not friendly towards us and or don't have a government that is really in existence that we can point to, harbor of terrorism. People say, well, what about Pakistan? What about it's funny. Everybody can talk about, well, what about this? What about that? Well, no, you don't want a full Muslim ban because we could probably go through most of these countries and say, yeah, Pakistan's bad. Saudi Arabia's bad. Indonesia's had issues. We could go through them all. And you don't want to. Do you want to add to it? No, you don't want to add to it. And, you know, this whole thing with Iran, I mean, you know, they can talk about how kind and friendly they are and how they want to do business with us. And this is his test. This is his first 100-day test. It's going to be Iran. But if you didn't see the ballistic test, if you didn't see the missile, they wrote stuff on there. Death to Israel, death to America. So if this is what you want, then go for it. Play the game. See if you want to play the game with this guy. This guy's not a game player. He's balls to the wall. Everybody's finding that out. He's not a game player. So if you feel like you are ready for this, make like a frog and leap. You said today you could have ballistic missiles here in Tel Aviv within 7 minutes. Well, we could have you off the mat within 8. How's that make you feel? Are you feeling it? You know what they'd say in the Old West? You better go get healed. That means you better go put a gun on. If this is what you're going to do and run your mouth, you better go get healed. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Jason Page is going to join us next. We're going to actually break the game down as like a real game, you know? Break it down, and we're going to ask the question, is Tom Brady the GOAT, the greatest of all times? The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, my goodness. What a game last night. Epic proportions. The game that was for the ages in some ways. In other ways, it was kind of ugly and sad. But joining us now, he was on with us Friday. He is a sports announcer. He is a sports host. He is a columnist. You can check him out at the back page. Jason Page joins us. Jason. This is the question I asked earlier, and I've seen it several other places. Did the Patriots win it, or did the Falcons lose it?
I think it's a little of both. And I know that's a cop-out answer. You're not supposed to say that, but it really is a little bit of both. The fact that so many teams would get down in that situation 28-3, and I don't care that it's a Super Bowl, there would be a letdown, and there'd be enough of a foot-off-the-gas-pedal mentality that you would expect that the Falcons would find some way to win. To throw it in poker vernacular, the Patriots needed runner-runner to make a straight flush, and they got both cards. I mean, they hit the turn, they hit the river, and they wind up winning the Super Bowl. Every single thing that needed to go their way over the final 23 minutes of this football game, every single thing that had to go their way did. Everything. And you know, they come out on top. But there are definitely some people in Atlanta who are going to have some fair questions to ask about the way Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan handled the final 18 minutes of that football game, throwing the football all over the place like it's an arena game when it's, you know, you're up by a considerable amount of points. I mean, people counted a good 4 minutes, Chad. People were able to count a good 4 minutes off the clock that they missed taking during that game. That could have been the difference between winning and losing.
You know, you talk about that, and as we talked to Jason Page here about the Super Bowl last night, they ran the ball four times, and they were up, and they ran the ball, what, like four times in that time? The clock is your enemy. If you're the Patriots, it's your friend. If you're the Falcons, and they flipped the script on it. And even with, like you said, everything went their way. Even when they got down to the 20, they were up by eight. They went backwards like 30 yards in the space of three plays. It was horrible play calling by Shanahan, the new coach, soon to be new coach of the 49ers.
Yeah, it was terrible play calling. But again, you are what you are, and they only knew one way to play that game. And Dan Quinn talked about it afterwards. You know, you've got an MVP quarterback. It's harder for me to kill them for being what they are. Because that's what they were for 16 games in the regular season. That's what they were for two games in the postseason leading up to the Super Bowl. You are what you are. And I don't know if they had another gear. I don't know if they knew what another gear was. Because this isn't a team, especially over the last couple months of the season, that had to play from behind all that much. Or had to play in a position where they were under some pressure. So I think that may have had ultimately something to do with it, but you got to give the Patriots credit. I mean, my God, to score 31 unanswered to win the game. And was there anybody in their right mind who didn't think the game was over, even when they were down 28-20 and they got the football back with 2.5 minutes left? Was there anybody that didn't think the game was over the second they got the football back? Because you knew they were going to score, and you knew they were going to get the 2-point conversion, and you know they're going to win the coin toss, and you know they're going to march down the field, and James White's going to score his third touchdown of the day and have 110 yards receiving and 14 catches. Yeah, right. Come on. I mean, it's crazy.
You know what? I talked about it a little while ago, and just the mental toughness there. We don't see it in kids nowadays. I think that's a lot taken away. There's just something about the mental toughness and makeup of Brady and Belichick. And, you know, Belichick this morning, first thing he says is it was really exciting last night. It was great. We can't rest on our laurels. We're 5 weeks behind all the other teams in the NFL. It's a system. This guy has built a belief system, and where he could take, you know, throwaways and guys that are on the trash heap and practice squads on other teams, and he plugs them in, and they become superstars.
Yeah, the motivation factor is always there for Tom Brady. I mean, he's the 199th overall pick in the draft. I mean, there's always going to be a motivation factor for a guy like that, a guy who was basically forgotten coming out of Michigan. So I don't think it's that big a surprise that he has that sort of motivation. But his ability, along with Belichick, his ability to drive the guys around him to care as much as he does, and it's one of these things that kind of doesn't get talked about all that much, but that's what's amazing, that you could get a LeGarrette Blount, who is, you know, basically a pothead with the Steelers in Pittsburgh, to come over there. And all of a sudden, LeGarrette Blount, who didn't have a great game yesterday, but if you look at him game one through game 16, what he means to that team, like every player on that team does, to get every single last bit out of a Chris Hogan or a Danny Amendola or a Julian Edelman or a Malcolm Mitchell, whoever it may be. I mean, from a roster standpoint, after Tom Brady, on that offensive side of the ball, that is not a Super Bowl-laced talent team. No. I mean, it just isn't. And they're still able to go out there week in and week out. And I mentioned it last Friday, without a Rob Gronkowski, and they're still able to go out there without a Rob Gronkowski and win a Super Bowl against a team that probably has superior talent to them, with the exception
Absolutely.
Of the quarterback position, and even that is pretty close.
Absolutely. Talking to Jason Page, you can check him out on Twitter, at the back page. Jason, can we put the rest now? And, you know, look, I know there's a lot of people out, you know, around the world who have their my quarterback's the best, or this guy, this day. Can we just put it to rest now? Tom Brady is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. There's no doubting that. It's been to seven. He's won five. Nobody's ever been in that stratosphere as a quarterback. Is it time to finally put this thing to rest?
Yes. If that thing had ended the way it went for the first three quarters, and he's 4-3 and he throws a pick six, and Atlanta wins that game in dominant fashion, and they don't put up more than 3 points or 10 points, it might have slightly changed the narrative. It might have left a crack open for the naysayers. But I think when you get to 5-2, four Super Bowl MVPs, two league MVPs, and frankly, you can make them much like LeBron James, who you could make the MVP in the NBA every year if you wanted. You could do the same with Tom Brady. You could make him the MVP every year in the league if you wanted. With those sorts of guys, yes, he's the greatest of all time. Obviously, I didn't get to see the greats of yesteryear with a Terry Bradshaw. I'm a little younger than that, but you're still talking about obviously the greatest of all time. I think when you stack it all up, this era where there's so many more teams, where there's so much more parity, the game is so physical and so physically demanding. More playoff games, all of those things. I think Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. And I'm not even a big Brady fan from a personality standpoint, but you got to give it to the guy. He's the greatest of all time.
Absolutely. Talking to Jason Page. One more question. We'll let you bounce. Appreciate you coming back on today.
No worries.
Next year,
I'm here
they're
for you
already...
all day. Chad, I'm here for you as long as you need me.
It's my co-host, kids. My co-host. Next year, they're already installed as the favorites. Why aren't more teams like the Patriots? I mean, it's ownership, it's general, it's front office, it's coach. Why aren't more teams like this? Why are more teams just, I mean, in a world of parity, what is it that this team has built a dynasty over the last 15 years when the Browns can't get to the Super Bowl? I mean, Super Bowl, they can't get to the playoffs. Hell, Belichick got into the playoffs. Is that the guy? Is that the singular reason?
Well, to go to your central question, which is why other teams can't do this or why they don't model themselves, it's the microwave mentality. It's got to have it now, got to have it fast. Oh, a team struggles for a year. Oh, we got to think about making a coaching change. I mean, how many guys do you see get bounced in this league after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? And like I said, more in the 1 to 2 year range these days. Even Rex Ryan just got 2 years in Buffalo, gone. The 49ers going through four coaches or three coaches in three seasons, whatever it was. A lot of teams, there's this mentality, and you've got to answer to a fan base. You've got outrageous ticket prices, these new stadiums. And it does start with ownership and Bob Kraft, but it goes down right through the organization. You see very little change in the Patriots from a top down to Bill Belichick situation. And obviously a quarterback helps as well. I mean, this is the perfect storm. I mean, that's what it is, essentially. It's the perfect storm. If you go look at any sort of dynasty or dynastic sort of team, now, whether it's the Patriots, you look at the Yankees and their big run in the 90s and up till 2000, there were a lot of the same core pieces in place. It's very difficult to get everybody to buy in from ownership through coaches, through assistant coaches, and be able to keep those guys. I mean, Josh McDaniel could have had an NFL job in this offseason if he wanted. He says, no, I'll stay on as an offensive coordinator in New England with the Patriots. Now, I think he could be the heir apparent to Bill Belichick, which is why I think he's staying on. I think he's going to be the next head coach of the Patriots at some point. It's just a question of when. But I think that has a lot to do with it. It's just stability from top to the bottom.
Fantastic. His name's Jason Page. You can check him out at the Back Page on Twitter. Thanks so much again, man. We appreciate that. Any other big sports things coming up? You know we're right on top of it.
I love it, Chad. Good to talk to you.
Chad Benson Show.
Now, let's get this party started.
Obviously.
I feel exactly the same way, but the opposite.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
On behalf of you to me for how you have treated me these last 2 weeks. And that apology is not accepted. Because I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to swallow gum and I'm here to take names.
Oh, that was Melissa McCarthy playing Sean Spicer, who took exception to that, by the way. Took very much of exception to the way that he was portrayed on Saturday Night Live. Get a thick skin if you're going to be in any industry where you're going to be in front of people and or heard by people and or whatever it is that you know, people are going to read your stuff, whatever. You're going to have to take a thick skin. You have to. I get blasted every day. Over the weekend, I got blasted by so many people because I haven't bought hook, line, and sinker the voter fraud thing. So for that, I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. I'm an effing this. It's crazy. And if you're a bunch of little bunnies out there, right, you're little bunnies and you know, you got to watch it, right? People are going to come after you. What you want to be is that ferocious bunny, like maybe rabies. So if they come after you, you bite back. It makes me laugh. It does. Just take a deep breath. I mean, the fact that you're commenting on it as a comic, the minute I know where your hot button is, right, the minute I know where I can get you and it's going to make you uncomfortable, I'm going to go back there over and over again. Now you've become an easy target. Soak it up. Say, I love the fact that they're doing that. That's great. That means I'm in the public lexicon. I love that. That's a fantastic thing. Great. Fantastic. I loved it. I thought she did a great job portraying me. I know I come across this way. You take the sting out, right? But when you go and you, like, throw your cackles up and then you dig in, they're going to come after you every single day. They're going to do that anyways. But when they know that you're that about it, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. Absolutely, as they should. As they should. Look, I have said all along, he struggles. He looks like he's angry at times. It's a tough job. Don't get me wrong. And it's a tough job for anybody. And I think for this White House, and there's reports coming out right now, there is massive infighting inside the Trump cabinet and inside the his closer inner circle. And you knew that was coming. First, Trump is one of those guys that loves that kind of competition. He loves it. He loves the competition out there. It makes him, who's going to be better to the king? Who's going to be better to the queen kind of competition? Who's going to fight for my approval? Who's going to do their job? Who's going to stand up? Blah, 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 blah. Who's standing up and standing out? He loves that. He lives for that kind of stuff. It's fantastic. I think it's great. I do. I think it's absolutely great. And competition is great. Look at sports across the board. We just got off the, talking to Jason Page. You don't think there's competition in sports? Competition and sports, they're synonymous. You hate. Tom Brady got his job because, 15 years ago, Drew Bledsoe got hit so hard that his spleen was destroyed. You're never supposed to lose your position when you're injured. Nobody heard of Drew Bledsoe since. I mean, he went on. He played a couple few years, and I love Drew Bledsoe. He's one of my favorite players. But Brady took him to the Super Bowl. They won it. Since then, he's won four more, been to the Super Bowl six more times. Drew Bledsoe played one important role that season when Brady was injured in the AFC Championship game, and then eventually was a Dallas Cowboy. Competition. Competition's great. And there's competition inside the White House. And they're going to fight. And they're going to assert power, and they're going to be, because they want to be the players inside of there. Some of it's frustrating, right? Some of it's frustrating, but I think he also likes to test you. Or are you going to talk back to me? Are you going to be the little bunny and not say anything? Are you going to talk back to me? Are you going to insert your power inside of this? I may be the final decision maker. I may be it, but I want to know if you're willing to throw it out there and get back in my face. Tomorrow, Ninth Circuit Court Appeals will hear the challenge to Trump's travel ban. And that's what it is, a travel ban. We'll see what happens. Is there precedence on his side? Yes. The president can decide who can and can't come in this country, especially if you think they're a threat. But what will this travel ban, what's going to happen to it on its way to the Supreme Court? Because that's what's going to happen. Are they going to make some – see, I would go back and say, okay, we need to make some adjustment to this, because the little kid that needed a heart surgery, come on. People that have already got green cards and have been here, come on. Little things like that, that there's common sense involved in it. New people coming here, okay, let's think about that. That's where it should be. If you've already been a productive person in this society, you've already got your green card, you've been here for a while, and you're an upstanding citizen, I have zero problems with it. If you're coming here for medical treatments and it's verified medical treatments, zero problems with it. Little things like that, just the blanketness of it all, I think, was the confusing part. And we need to, we need to see where this is going to go in the courtrooms, because that's where it's going to be decided. Not the court of public opinion, not the, not him holding court and Senate's holding court and everybody else holding court. It's actually going to be decided by the judges. And precedence is on his side. We will see what takes place. Very, very much so. It is on his side. Now it's a 5-3. He's not going to have Gorsuch by then. But still doesn't matter if it was going to be completely just, one-sided, hey, the liberals are taking this side and the conservatives are taking that side. It wouldn't matter anyway. But there is precedence on his side, and I wouldn't be surprised if this thing is upheld in the Supreme Court, which is where it's going to go after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will hear the challenge. And from there, away she heads, sooner rather than later. By the time they hear it, it may be over and done. We don't know. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I'm getting a lot of text messages. Why aren't you talking about the commercials? We're going to get to the commercials. We're going to get to Lady Gaga as well. I got a lot of stuff still to talk about last night because everything in some ways is political. I think we know that, especially now. Politics is a big, big, big reality show for a lot of people out there who normally don't look at politics, and they're soaking more of it in. Gaga had a statement last night. What statement was? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about several of the commercials that were played last night. Were they aimed directly at the Trump administration? It's possible. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonSon. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.